Amen. A wonderful song, wonderful singing. And the question is answered. We don't have to do without Jesus. We have him. The question would be, what does the world do without Jesus? But thank God we have him. And they could too, if they would be willing to bow, to confess, to acknowledge him. Thank you for those good songs tonight, for the songs of Zion. Turn the Bibles, please, to the book of Luke 13. We were in Luke chapter 15 this morning, looking at God's Son, God's Spirit, and their Father. The three in one, they are responsible for our salvation, for bringing us to Christ Jesus. And tonight we're going to look at a portion of Scripture found in the 13th particular chapter of Luke, verse 31. Scripture says, "The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying to him, 'Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee.'" Jesus is doing miracles, preaching, doing the work of his Father. He said, "I came to do the will of my Father," and he did. And he was in the territory that Herod had jurisdiction over. And the Pharisees did not like Jesus. They did not like his teachings. They were always going about to try to trick him, to cause him to do something else, because they were in power, and that's what it is. Most religious problems today are power struggles. Most church problems I've seen in my life, and probably you would agree with me, are nothing but power struggles. Who runs it? Who's in charge? Well, Jesus lets us know, as we're going to look tonight, that I am in charge and I'm going on my schedule. It would do good for us tonight to realize that we're not on our schedule, we're on his schedule. And the Pharisees, they had no desire to warn Jesus because of his being killed, because they would like nothing better. But they were trying to trick him. And there's no doubt in my mind but what they had been conspiring with Herod, because Herod tells us later on that for a long season I've been desiring to meet you. He finally got a chance. He asked questions to Jesus, but Jesus gave no response. He's not required to. People that tries to trick him, that tries to cause him to get off track, that tries to discourage him, he has no answer for him. He has an answer for the world. "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Herod had no desire to come to Jesus for any of that. He just wanted the sideshow of some miracles. That's what the world's looking for. But we're going to look tonight that Jesus says, "I'm going to stay on my schedule." So it would do as well tonight, every one of us, to realize that he is in control. And the world would try to trick us, just like the Pharisees came to Jesus. "Jesus, you better stop what you're doing. You better not teach any more around here, because if you don't get out, Herod will kill you." The motives behind that was the message that was sent was to deter. The message sent to Jesus was to distract. The message sent to Jesus was to discourage him. Nothing's changed. We're in the world, and the world hates Christ. They can't get to him, but we're Christ's followers. So they try to get us to be discouraged, off track, to get us to be disillusioned, disheartened. But if we stick to God's schedule, as we'll see tonight, we'll be all right. Now, the Bible says in the first particular words that we read, "the same day," something else happened that day of significance, and we'll retreat back just a little bit in this chapter and find out that, because he's still in the same synagogue. On the Sabbath day, the scripture says in Luke 13 that he entered into the synagogue and there he taught. And there was one in need, a woman that was bowed over, and the text indicates she was bowed all the way over, couldn't look up. But Jesus saw her. He sees the problems you have. He sees the problems I have. And he's there to help. Now, in that bowed over position, she probably didn't get a good look at Jesus. But nonetheless, he got a good look at her. He's looking at you tonight. He's looking at me. He's looking at all the world. And they come to Jesus because he's following his Father's schedule. He came to do the will of God, and he did the will of God. And if you and I would determine in our heart that our life would be spent to do his will, and if we do that, the world is against us, religion's against us, everything's against us. But the scripture says, if God be for you, who can be against you? And so if we'll stick to his schedule, we've got him at our side. And that same day, the scripture says in Luke chapter 13, that this woman was diseased. She had that crippling disease, and Jesus looked at her, and we read these words in verse 12. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. And the scripture says, what he has set free, you're free indeed. I thank God one day, and as a 12-year-old boy, he came to me on a Sunday night. I was shackled in sin, in bondage. But Christ Jesus came and saw my condition. Holy Spirit wooed me unto him. And the Holy Spirit illuminated my mind that I could see that I needed him. Now, I knew that in my head from the day I was born or the day I was old enough to know anything. Mom and Dad no doubt taught me even before I remember anything about Jesus. I never have one second doubted that he was the Christ, the one sent from God. That didn't save me because that was just a head belief. But one day the Holy Spirit illuminated my mind. That's called conviction. Without conviction, you're not going to get saved. And he convicted me of my sins, and he showed me that Christ Jesus was the Lord. It went from my head to my heart. With the heart, man believeth. With the mouth, man confesses. So I acknowledged in my heart, didn't take me very long just to say, Lord, I'm in need, save me. And I was loosed from my infirmities of sin. A lot of things happened that day I can't explain, couldn't explain it then, and I'm no better to explain it today. But I know what the Bible says about it now a lot more than I did then. You see, he came and convicted me of my sin. I confessed my sins. He was willing and just to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me as though I'd never sinned. And not only can he not forget, remember my sins, but my sins don't exist anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all unrighteousness. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. At the same moment of time, he came into my heart and sealed me and came to live in my heart until the day of the Lord Jesus. And then he's coming back to get me. A lot of other things transpired I don't know about. But this woman was loosed from all those things that was wrong with her. Now, let's see what religion says about it. Didn't matter, really, because nothing has ever distracted, discouraged, or been a delusionment to Christ Jesus. And if you let it, it won't be to you either. Satan tries to. Religion tries to. The world tries to. And even now we have our own government trying to get us to cease from mentioning the name of Jesus. It's not one word that likes to be mentioned. A lot of people get in trouble for it. Thank God we have the internet. A lot of people are watching. Thank God for that. We have emails from foreign countries where missionaries will watch our messages and use the messages to go and train other missionaries. That amazes me because I'm so little and so unworthy and so insignificant. And then this week we got a letter, somebody in Hendersonville, I won't call their name, that watches the internet on a regular basis and sends us a check to the church for $500. See, it does a lot of good. But at the same time people are watching for the right reason, there is no doubt more watching for the wrong reason. Not to bother us, not to distract from us. See, there many are keeping track who will stand. And who will falter. And they will do and are doing and will continue to do everything in their power to get us off course. They did Jesus. It didn't work for him. And if we won't let it, it won't work for us either because we keep our mind on him. Our heart is, our affections are set on things above. And the Bible says in verse 13, and he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight. And you can imagine what happens when God
takes you and looses you, and all your infirmities are gone, and now you can stand in the upright position, and you can look at him. She glorified God. What else would you do? We saw the lame man sitting at the temple at the gate, beautiful gate, and Peter and John had the message for her, silver and gold have we none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the scripture indicates what happened then. He started leaping and running, and you know where he ended up? You got it. The temple, house of God. Why? Anything worth anything is going to be centered there. And there he was found. So when God frees us, we start living a life to bring glory and honor to him. Follow it through the scripture. It happens every time. And the Bible says in verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Same crowd that came to Jesus said, you better get out of here. If you don't, hurry, he's going to kill you. Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Trying to say, Jesus, you've done wrong. Questioning God. Lucifer tried that. He succeeded. He went to Eve, remember, and said, hath God surely said. Yeah, he did. Did God really mean it? He did. And God says that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Has God always meant what he said? Yeah, and he will enforce it too. And we know the story. Adam and Eve sinned. They transgressed. And there in one particular moment, they died, just as God said. Not physically, they died spiritually. Couldn't communicate with God. They were going to be able to live forever, but then because of sin, they transgressed and they couldn't go to heaven. And God shows up walking in the cool of the day. And there they were, had to hide themselves. But God provided a sacrifice. He took animals and shed blood and offered them coats, coverings for their sins. Represents Christ Jesus that was one day coming and going to be the lamb with that spot, with that blemish, and shed his blood for the covering of all man's sin. Satan tried to get God off track then, but he didn't, and he never will. So it depends on what we do. Now, Jesus has been confronted by the ruler of the synagogue and says, you can't do this. It's already done. Oh, a lot of times people try to say, we can't do that. Well, I've already done it, and now what's the penalty of it? See, the world tries to discourage every one of us. But Jesus said to him, and this is what I want to read and emphasize, that nothing's going to discourage the Lord. And the Lord then answered him and says, thy hypocrite, the audacity that Jesus would call someone a hypocrite. He can. He knows your heart. Now, I know, and you know by people's actions, if they say one thing and do something else, if they say they honor God and don't, then they're a hypocrite. That's what God said about it. It's not my judgment. But I don't dare walk up to somebody and, unless God told me to, of course, and I hope he don't, and say that hypocrite. But Jesus has authority to do that. And he knew this ruler's heart. He knew why he was trying to do it. He was not at all interested about the woman being healed. He was interested in trying to discourage Jesus and to get him to stop doing these miracles. Why? Because other people would believe in Jesus, and that would ruin his religious episode, and people would look to Jesus rather than him. It's always been about that, always will be. The devil and people and religion tries to get our eyes off Jesus. If he can discourage you enough and say you can't do that, you can't pray, you can't witness, you can't use the name of Jesus, then he puts us in the fear tactic. But it didn't bother Jesus, nor should it bother us. Thy hypocrite. And I don't know what else the ruler had to say about it, but because once Jesus identifies you, you're already given the charge. He's a hypocrite. There's no argument for it. Thy hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham,
whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years he loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. See, when Jesus appears on the scene, does what he purposed to do, nobody's going to change his schedule. And when he speaks, the people have to back up, and all those that are on his side will bring honor and glory to him. That we started out today, tonight, by looking at the verse of scripture that said, if you don't leave, if you don't flee, Herod's going to kill you. We're going to go back to that verse and look for the next few minutes that Jesus said to him, I'm on a schedule. I've been on one. That's why I came. And I want to encourage us tonight that we are on a schedule. God scheduled the moment we got saved. He knew every one of us, knew when we were born, before we were born. He's God. He knows all those things. And he knew the messages we would need to hear, the places we ought to be. It's been his schedule all along. And I would submit to you now that since it's worked out this well so far, let's just stay to the schedule. And let God arrange your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, though there's none good, no, not one. But he that lives within you is greater than he that lives in the world. So if Christ Jesus is in the throne of our heart, we're submitted to him, we're scheduled to go his route, then he has a schedule for every one of us. What is that? Well, let's look at what Jesus' schedule was. It'll help us. Verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. He knew that Herod was the one that encouraged them to come to him. And now he is saying, will you go back and send the message to the one that gave you the message to send me? I'm not buying your message. I'm not changing your message. I'm sticking to my plan. I'm on my Father's plan. And I've got a job to do. And you and I have a job to do is follow him. Take up the cross and follow me. Keep your eyes on him. Don't let anyone or anybody try to discourage us, no matter who it is. Because if we do, there's fear. And the Bible says that if we trust him with all our heart, there is no fear because he is all around us. If I be for you, who can be against you? Verse 32, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow. Oh, you want me out of the synagogue, do you? You want me out of your mess? You want me out of Herod's jurisdiction? God sent me here. I'm preaching. I'm healing. I did it today. I'll do it tomorrow. Nobody stops me from doing what I want to do. The Bible says very clearly, God does as he pleases. Now, I can't say that, and you can't say that because it would appear as though we were trying to set ourselves up on the pedestal and say, nobody can stop me. But God can, and he is not being a bit sarcastic. God does what he pleases. Why wouldn't he? He's God. He's perfect. He's done right. He's doing right. He will do right. No man can accuse him of doing wrongly. No one can say, rightfully so, why did God do that? I don't even think about that. I don't think I have ever let it enter into my brain to question why God does anything. Now, Jesus says, my God, why hath thou forsaken me? But that was not to accuse God. It's okay to ask, as Jesus did, why did you do it? But don't do it with the implication that you've done wrong. Because what he's done is right. It's all right. Say, so why did you do it? I know you're right in doing it. And let me know why you do it so I can understand what I need to do to readjust my schedule. But don't ever say it with the implying that you've done wrong. So most people I've heard say, why did God do that? Was to accuse God of doing wrongly. But Jesus says, I've done it today. I'll do it tomorrow. And the Pharisees can't stop me, and the ruler of the synagogue can't stop me,
and the devil can't stop me, and hurried, that old fox can't stop me. He used the word fox. The word means shy, cunning as a fox. That's what hurried was. That's what the devil is. He's trying to discourage. He's shy in doing it, but he wouldn't come to Jesus face to face, but he sent, no doubt, the Pharisees. So you've got here trying to produce fear, trying to run him out of the territory. Not until he's ready to go, he won't leave. I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Calvary's already said. I'm taking every step toward Calvary. I've got a lot of work to do before I get there, but on the third day, I'll rise again and defeat Satan. And he's already wounded these in earth with a bad headache. Christ Jesus bruised his head. And one of these days, he's coming back, and Satan's going to be cast out in the outer darkness. But right now, he's loose. God permitted. God planned it. Don't understand it. That's up to him. But Bible says three times, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And if you read God's word, you'll know what he's up to. He's up to deceive, to distract, to discourage, among many other things. But Jesus said he's not getting to me. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. God's already got my life fixed. He knows the day I'm going to Calvary. He knows how many miracles I'll do before I get there. He's already got it planned, every person I'm going to see. He knows every person that's going to believe in me. He knows the people that's going to reject me and those that will cry, crucify me. God knows all that. And I submit to you, if God knows all that about every one of us, and he does, why don't we just submit to his schedule? And we say to ourselves and to anyone else that would try to come against us that we're doing what we're doing because we're on a fixed schedule. It's his schedule, of course. We're following orders. We're proclaiming the gospel. We're standing fast in the faith. And when we do wrong, we confess our sins. He is willing and just to forgive us our sins. But he continues. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets, and stoneth them that are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. In the midst of this persecution, in the midst of all the people that's trying to discourage him, distract him, and yes, even kill him, he still has that burden for Jerusalem. Which leads you now to know what we ought to do. We ought to have a burden. Now, I've found in my life, you can't manufacture that burden. It comes from God. If you have a heart for God and you want to please him, he said, I came to do the will of my Father. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And the scripture says, as he is in this world, so are we. So if he came with a mindset to win the loss of Jesus, that ought to be our mindset. He had a burden for Jerusalem. I can almost see, as I listen to the word of God, what he said, Jerusalem's Jerusalem, with a voice trembling, with a heart of conviction, with a heart of love. It's hard to imagine that these are his people. They have done so, been through the fire, they've been in bondage, and God has brought them out, and yet they've crucified, they have put to death, they have destroyed the prophets that came in the name of the Lord. They said, we won't hear God's prophet. They knew they were God's prophets. They don't want to hear him. Why doesn't the world want to hear Jesus today? Because they don't want to do his will. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want the glorious gospel. They don't want to change their ways. They don't want to bow and bend and say, I'm wrong. Have you ever noticed about yourself? I don't know if it's just me, but one of the hardest things to admit to yourself and to others is, I'm wrong. Forgive me. To acknowledge to somebody else, I'm wrong. Is that hard for you? I'll tell you a little story I've told some of you before. My wife and I are really close. And we got married, and we're one, but still that pride. I've been before, you know, traveling and get off of the road, a service station, whatever, somewhere to eat, and get back on the road, and several minutes later, pass somewhere that I'd already been, which is a good indication you're going the wrong way. And I try to get my mind, Sandra's mind off of it so she won't notice. And I try to plot, how can I rig this so I don't have to say I'm on the wrong road? Well, actually, I wasn't on the right road. How do I say to her I'm going in the wrong direction? It's a hard thing to do. It is for me. And finally, after a while, she'll say, didn't we pass that barn a while ago? Wasn't it on the other side? Then you have to admit it. I even said one time I was going to Myrtle Beach, where my son lived at the time, and we were going, we got off for coffee early in the morning, and it was in the fall of the year. And everybody knows which way geese are supposed to fly in the fall of the year, south. I got off the Interstate 20 and got back on it. And I said, Sandra, look at that foolish gang of geese. That head goose up there is going to be in big trouble when the rest of those geese figure out he's going in the wrong direction. A little bit later on, I saw a sign that says Columbia so many miles. I was the one going the wrong direction and thought the geese was. It's hard to confess your faults, isn't it? But God has told us, if you'll confess your sins, I'll be just to forgive us of every sin. And all we have to do is confess, acknowledge it, come clean with him. And here the Jews had done so wrong, they had killed the prophets. They had denied God, and they would not admit they were wrong. And they tried to make Jesus in the wrong. But there's good news. He's never been in the wrong, never will be in the wrong. He said, what I did yesterday, I'm doing today. And I'll do it tomorrow, and I'll do it the day following tomorrow. It would help every one of us just to come clean with God in their heart and say, God, no other way is going to work. The way of the world is wrong. The way of the enemy is wrong. Only one direction that's right, toward the cross of Calvary, the landmark between heaven and earth. If you plan on going to heaven, you got to come by the way of the cross. Jesus Christ shed blood. That's where he forgives sins. There he stands overlooking Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have forgiven you, but you would not. And then the next verse and the last verse, and we'll close in verse 35. Because of their unwillingness to ask forgiveness, because of their hard hearts, Jesus said that, and their stiff-necked, because they would not confess him as Lord, which means they have to acknowledge their wrong, this is what he told them would happen. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until a time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. If you don't believe me today, Jesus said, but it's not going to hinder me. I've already determined. My course is set. And the day he's coming back is already determined by God the Father. And nothing you do or I do can change that. So I guess we better just make our schedule with his schedule. Be ye therefore ready, for in the hour ye think not, the Son of Man shall come. And I want to ask you now a very serious question. If he were to come tonight, and he could, how would it be with you? Would you have to go to someone and say, forgive me, I should have asked a long time ago, but I'm asking you forgiveness? What about him? Have you confessed all your sins to him? Have you been going your way rather than his way? You've been pretending perhaps that it's his way, but if it's not, it's not. And you're saying it's not going to change anything. He's got one schedule, and that's to perfect us And if we're saved, present us to the Father, because we're his bride. And husbands, you know as well as I do, being the husband I am, that you want your bride to be beautiful and spot-free. And I'm sure on their wedding day, they came and did a lot of preparation to make sure there was no spots on the garment and the hair was done right and everything was just right. But the Lord Jesus Christ is going to present his bride to his Father. He's going to be pleased with us. Probably means a lot of getting rid of dirty spots, and he's going to present us to the Father blameless, without spot or wrinkle. And the only way that's going to happen is for you and I to confess some things and let him begin to get some wrinkles out, if you've got any in there, of course. And he will do what he needs to do to make sure that all our sins are confessed. You know, when you got saved, he forgave you all your sins, past, present, and future. But you have to acknowledge them. You have to confess them. You have to feel sorry for them. And you have to realize by saying, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. And none of this if I sin business. Confess your faults. He is faithful to forgive. What's so hard about that? I know it's in the flesh. We're just fleshly people. Doesn't give us the excuse to be that. But we can come clean with God. Would you stand in that? Your heads are bound. Brother Bill, you come sing a song of invitation, whatever God puts on your heart. Determine in their heart that we're going to proceed on schedule. No matter what the enemy says. No matter how many people are watching the internet and saying, well, we aren't politically correct. I don't care about being politically correct. I want to be heavenly correct. Right. And anything I say or do that's not, God will correct me. And what the world says or thinks really don't matter. I don't want to be mean or hateful, but Jesus called that bunch hypocrites. He called Hurry the Fox. Paul says, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much harm. Watch out for him. We need to know who the enemy is. Don't be ashamed and just call it like it is. Whatever your need is, I can't straighten the world out, nor can you. But you, through the blood, can straighten your own self out by admitting it, by confessing it, and by being willing to proceed on his schedule. Whatever your needs are tonight,
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must trod. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me. And I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms reach high, the dark clouds rise. They don't weary me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portal. Come home, my child, it's the last mile you must trod. I'll fall asleep and waken God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't weary me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms reach high, the dark clouds rise. They won't weary me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Sheltered safe within the arms of God.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bill, for that beautiful song. Anyone got a testimony, song to sing, whatever is on your heart you need to do if God put it there? Thank you for coming. Brother Kirkendall, come up and mind the Lord.
I just want to thank the Lord for being so good to me.
Sure.
He touched my legs and my feet the other night. Sitting right back there on the pew. And I haven't had a pain in my feet or legs since. I've been able to sleep every night.
Yes.
I'm grateful for a good night's sleep that you don't have to get up and walk the floor. God is good to me. And I don't want to take it for granted.
Yes.
He's a precious Savior. He's a precious friend.
Yes.
And I thank Him for all of His goodness to me.
Yes.
And I thank Him for this place, for every one of you. You're a blessing to me that you'll never know. I thank Him for the day that He sent Tootsie and I this way. I'm grateful for all that He's done for me. Pray for us that we'll be faithful.
Amen. Anyone else? Stand right here a minute. Anyone else have a word, testimony? Thank the Lord. Pray for our nation. Pray for the upcoming revival. It won't be long, a few weeks. I'm excited about that, what God's going to do for us. And you don't have to wait until then. God could do something for us anytime if you're willing to confess, acknowledge, depend on. Follow His schedule, not our own. He's got one, you know, for every one of us. A lot of people said, and I don't think I've ever said that, I've heard it said, it's so hard to know God's will. It's not. Not if you really want to. Now, a lot of us won't know God's will because we don't want to do it, and we're afraid He might tell you something that you wouldn't want to do. You'll never know His will like that. If you really would like to know His will and to do it without hesitation, He's more anxious for you to know His will than you want to know His will, I'll tell you that. And He'll reveal it to you. My burden is easy. My yoke is light. Brother, would you dismiss us? Thank you for coming.
Kind, gracious Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You again, Father, for all of Your blessings, most of all for Jesus. We thank You, Father, for this beautiful place that You've given us to worship You. And, Father, we pray that Fletcher First Baptist may always be what You would have it to be. Pray, God, that You'd send revival, and, God, may it start in each one of our hearts. May we want it, Father, more than we want our next meal or our next breath. Help us, Father, not to be complacent or satisfied or comfortable spiritually, but to let you work on our hearts, that you might do in this place and in this community and in Asheville and in Hendersonville and Fletcher and Skyland and Naples, Father, what you want to do. Father, we long to see souls saved. We pray, Father, for the upcoming revival. And Father, Darren can't bring one in himself. But Father, we pray that you would speak to each heart and help us, Father, to be obedient. And we'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.